If you got your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, chapter 1. We're going to take up our series that we've been doing in the book of Philippians. We've been studying about joy, talking about what it means to live a joyful Christian life is the theme of the book of Philippians. The first thing we talked about, our first message when we examined the first part of Philippians, was teamwork. Paul identified himself as a servant. He said he and Timotheus were on the same level, and he was a servant of God. The second message, we talked about potential. He said that he was confident that what God had done in their lives, in verse 6, the work that he had begun, he was going to perform. Paul was convinced of this, and he said, it's right for me to think this of you. He said, I have you in my heart. And the things that he was doing, he kept the Philippians, the people in the church of Philippi in his heart. That brings us to our message this evening, which will begin in verse number 12. Let's read together Philippians chapter 1, in verse number 12, the Bible says, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to recount the good times that we've had and the opportunities that we've had. We appreciate Bible Baptist Church and the youth department allowing us to be able to go to these things and experience these things. And Lord, I pray that our faith has been strengthened because of it, and that you'll use us in the future to do great things from these experiences and to be able to share them with others. I pray that you'll help us as we look into your word this evening. May we understand your perspective on our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak for a few moments this evening on the topic of perspective, applying biblical perspective. What does it mean to have biblical perspective? How important is it to my life, and how can I apply this? Well, the definition of perspective is this. It's a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view. So I have a perspective from the pulpit here that would be totally different from my perspective here from the steps or from the back. It's a point of view. It's how I'm looking at things. It's my way of regarding things. And I can only see through my two eyes. I was talking to someone the other day and saying, man, I just wish that for a few moments I would be able to somehow get inside somebody else's head and experience life through their eyes. For everyone who's married, I'm sure that you would, or maybe you don't want to, but I'm sure that you would probably like to experience life through your spouse's eyes so you can understand where they're coming from and know exactly why they're saying the things that they're saying, how they're coming up with their opinions. But we don't. We are confined to our own perspective. But God's perspective is so much superior to ours. God sees so much more than we can see. He sees from an aerial view almost, as if we're looking here and we're blocked by trees and mountains and buildings, and God can see the whole plan ahead of us. Joseph is a great example of understanding how to apply biblical perspective. So many bad things happened in his life, and yet he was able to keep a good perspective, keep a good attitude through it all. In fact, at the very end, he told his brothers, the things that happened to me and the horrible things that you did, you meant for evil, but God meant them for good. And he was able to, instead of getting bitter and turning his back on God, he kept with the plan and just trusted that God knew what he was doing. Elisha's servant in 2 Kings 6, I'll just read this briefly, says, Therefore sent he, this is the king of Syria, thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city of Dothan. This is the prophet Elisha. And the king of Syria, all his moves in battle were being, he felt like all he had a traitor in his captains, because of all of his moves, Israel was able to counteract and be there and able to win. And they said, no, it's not. None of us are traitors. It's the fact that there's a prophet in Israel. His name's Elisha, and he can tell everyone what you say in private. So he decided, the king of Syria decided to go and get this guy, Elisha, before he made any more battle against Israel, which was smart. It says in verse 15, And when the servant of the man of God, when Elisha's servant was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, this is Elisha speaking, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And here's the servant. I can just imagine him saying, Elisha, what are you saying? We're about to be taken captive, prisoner. We're going to be destroyed. Here's the whole strength of the army of Syria. And Elisha prayed, verse 17, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What did the servant see? What was changed? His perspective. He was able to see what he could not see before because of Elisha's prayer. First thing that I'll mention this evening is that biblical perspective allows us to continue when things get difficult. So Why is it important for me to have a biblical perspective? Why is this important for me to have? Well, it's going to allow us to continue when things get difficult, and things will get difficult. I'm only 27. I've only lived a little bit of time compared to some of you, and maybe longer compared to some of you. But the longer that I live, I realize that life is not easy. It provides many obstacles. It brings many difficulties, and the Apostle Paul could certainly testify to that. Remember, he had been facing prison while he was in Philippi. In fact, when he writes this epistle to the Philippians, he's in jail in Rome. He knows what it's all about to encounter difficulties. And notice in verse number 12, our first verse, he says this. After he talks about his prayer for them and his vision for them, he says in verse 12, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel." In the very beginning of his letter, he addresses this predicament that he's in. He doesn't gloss over it and say there's no difficulties. He says, "Let me get you to understand this right from the beginning. There have been some bad things that have happened to me. There have been some horrible things that have come into his life." He says, "I want you to understand that these things have actually happened for a purpose, but these bad things have happened." 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12 says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." This is Paul talking to Timothy in a letter. "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul promises in this in these scriptures to us that if we are going to live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to experience difficulties as well, and persecution even. I don't know if we'll experience what we normally think of as persecution, where you know, we're told to give up our Bibles or give up our faith, or we'll face imprisonment or death. I'm not sure if we'll experience that here in America during our lifetime. Certainly people around the world are facing persecution, probably even tonight as we speak. But we do face difficulties on multiple levels. We do face certain forms of persecutions at times. And it would be wrong for us to say, everything will be fine. We're going to gloss over this. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even happen. Paul says, he addresses it. He says, these things have happened unto me. But notice, he doesn't just say, these things have happened and I think I'm about to quit, or I think that I'm about to throw in the towel. Notice he said, the things which have happened unto me, verse 12, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Instead of focusing on the negative, Paul was able to see the overarching good plan of God. When we focus on our negative circumstances, it can cause us to miss God's plan. We may be even tempted to quit living for God. It's easy for us to look and say, well, I went to church this week and I didn't have enough money for this. Or I was trying to follow God and I was trying to do what was right, and then this happened in my life. And we have such short memories. We often link things to things in our lives when there's a large overarching plan. And we like to say, well, this happened, so God must be mad at me. Or this happened, so I must be doing the wrong thing somewhere. Instead of realizing that we still need to do right. Whether good things happen to us or bad things happen to us, God knows what's going on in the long run. And he understands what is best for us and what we need in our lives. Notice verse number 13. Paul says this, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." What is he saying? He's saying there's bad things that happen to me, but he has a good attitude about it. He says the gospel is spreading in prominent places. We won't turn there right now, but Pastor mentions this frequently. At the end of Philippians, Paul says to the people that he's writing to, "Those of Caesar's household greet you." He says here that in verse 13, that in all the palace and in all other places that Christ is manifest. So Paul was a witness. Because of his imprisonment, people in Caesar's household came to Christ. Those who he was with, he was able to impact. Paul didn't see he understood the negative aspects, but he focused on the positive. He also said that Christians are being emboldened. What a difference just one person can make. Because of Paul's imprisonment, he said, there's good news here. I know that I'm in prison, but the bad things that they intended are actually falling out. They're happening. Good things. The gospel is going forward. In fact, many of the brethren of the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, and they're more bold to speak the word without fear. What can your life? How can your life impact someone else? What can you do? How can you serve Christ and make other people bold by your life? Sometimes it just takes a simple stand, especially in a group of teens. Somebody says something off color or a bad story or makes a comment, and instead of going along with it or instead of laughing at it, you say, I don't think that was appropriate. Well, that'll get quiet pretty quick, won't it? All of a sudden, everybody says, and they may make fun of you for a second, and they may say, you're weird, but you know what? Inside, they respect you. You may have people come to you later and say, wow, how can I be like that? Or how can I make a difference? You know, each of us can make a difference. Each of us can make a difference in our lives, in our worlds this week. None of us impact the same people. All of us go into different areas of life tomorrow. We work with different people. We interact with different people. We have different family. But how can you make a difference by standing up for Christ and not giving in when it gets difficult? Abraham believed God and became the father of the nation of Israel. One man. Joseph pleased God and was used to preserve an entire nation. Moses followed God's leading and eventually led Israel out of Egypt. Deborah believed God and encouraged Barak and Israel to victory when victory seemed impossible. Ruth chose to follow God and became the great-grandmother of King David. David trusted God, and an entire nation rallied behind his leadership against God's enemies. Elijah served God, and Baal worship was destroyed, and Israel returned to God. All of us have power. All of us have the ability to influence others. And Paul's saying, I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be in prison because the things that have happened to me have actually turned around. The gospel is being furthered, and the people who may not have been as bold to preach are now preaching boldly. He was able to see and understand that even through difficult circumstances, with a biblical perspective, he was able to triumph over that. I hope that you and I, as we go throughout this week, that we'll think about the Apostle Paul and his time in prison, the difficulties that he faced, the things that came against him, and just think in your mind, think with me, is there an opportunity that you'll have this week, a chance to stand, to make a difference, and to influence others to turn to Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We do appreciate the account of the Apostle Paul and his stand for you. Thank you that he didn't get discouraged or distracted when things got difficult. It didn't matter what happened to him. He was convinced and fully committed to service to you. And Lord, each one of us, myself, we all need this to have this boldness that the Apostle Paul displayed. We all need to renew our commitment and understand that we can make a difference in the lives of those who we interact with. I pray that you'll give us boldness this week to stand for you and to decide to do right, no matter what the difficulties that we may face. In Jesus' name, amen.